Welcome to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. I'm your host, Maureen, and I'll be with you for the next half hour if you're just joining us. And in this segment today, I will be talking with Nelson McCourt. Now, Nelson is the vice president of the Salon du Patrimoine in Cleveland, and he'll be talking to us about the Antique Farm Machinery Show that is coming up on the Richmond Fairgrounds. It's on June 15th and 16th. And we'll be also doing a short interview with Anne Marie Bailey. She owns and operates Black Cat Bookstore in Lenoxville. So we'll start off with a song. It's by Justin Moore, and the song is called This Is My Dirt. Right after that, we'll hear the interview with Nelson McCourt, so please stay tuned.
He had hard work caked on his overalls, sweat on his neck, chaw in his jaw, when a stranger pulled up and met him outside his barn. Said, sir, I don't know if you ever would, but I built houses and neighborhoods, and I was wondering if you'd ever want to sell your farm. With his old dog barking and running around, he paused for a second, spit on the ground, and kicked a little gravel, looked down and said, this is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands. Where I raise my babies, a piece of me, now this ain't just a piece of land. The money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. Can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt. Great-granddaddy bought it for 100 acres. He just got married when he signed the papers. Him and his brothers framed that old farmhouse. Every fence post here we put in the ground, ran the barbed wire, pulled the plow, every last hay bale we built it. Yeah, I'd hate to be the first to sell it. This is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands. Where I raise my babies, a piece of me, now this ain't just a piece of land. The money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. Can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt. This is where 5 generations have prayed for rain. They'll cover me in it when the good Lord calls my name. This is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands. Where I raise my babies, a piece of me, now this ain't just a piece of land. The money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. You can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt. Yeah, this is my dirt. Yeah, this is my dirt. Where I harvest what I plant, this is my dirt. Where I raise my babies, this is my dirt.
Today we're welcoming Nelson McCourt. He's the vice president of the Patrimoine Cleveland. Could you tell us a little bit about this organization? Is it a club, Nelson?
No, it's not really a club. Everybody's welcome. We put on this show for heritage of all the antique tractors and cars and whatever is antique. We like to show it off.
Okay, that's good. And you have a show coming up on June 15th and 16th. That is Antique Farm Machinery. So that's very interesting. I grew up in a farm, so that interests me. What inspired the creation of this Antique Farm Machinery show, Nelson?
Well, I'll be honest with you, me and my friend Laurent here, we we liked that stuff. Of course, I was a farmer. I worked on a farm all my life as a young kid, so always tractors are always in my heart. That's why I get into the old stuff, because I can't afford the new stuff.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Tell us a little bit about the history behind some of the oldest pieces of the machinery on display.
Well, for instance, like tractors, they've been around. When they took the place of the horses, they helped out farmers quite a bit. They did a lot of work that a horse couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of, they took a lot of time out of it. They took a lot of less time for them to do. So everything was faster.
Do you collect antique farm machinery yourself?
Well, more tractors that I collect, but it is antique farm machinery. Yes, tractors. But I do have a couple of things that are farm machinery stuff. But I collect more of the tractors than anything else.
Okay. So how do you go about finding antique tractors?
Oh, I just keep looking on the internet or marketplace or any. And be honest with you, I bought a lot from Ontario. I find that in Ontario, the people in Ontario keep the older stuff longer than here in Quebec.
Well, that's interesting. Do you have any interesting stories about finding any particular pieces or tractors or...
Well, to be honest with you, I found a Massey Harris 22 once in the barn, that the barn was falling on top of it. I found that on, I think it was Kijiji at the time, that somebody wanted to sell. And it was in Pickering, Ontario, near the sandbanks. And we went there, me and my cousin went there, Craig. We went there and we looked at it. And he says, just if you want it, just take it out of the barn, it's yours.
Oh, that's neat.
So we had to dig it out.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What are some of the challenges you face in preserving and restoring your tractors?
Well, a lot of it's get it going. First of all, if they haven't run in 20 to 30 years, it's to get it running, clean the fuel, make sure there's fires up. That's the main thing, is clean the carburetors out and make sure that the motor turns over good. And if you have fuel and fire, you're fine, it'll run.
What criteria do you have in selecting machines for your show coming up on the in June 15th and 16th?
Well, anything's welcome, no matter what year or anything. Anything that's antique is more than welcome to come. Anything that's over 25 years old is considered an antique.
Okay, over 25 years old. Okay, that's interesting.
Yes.
How many years has the show been going on?
4 years now.
Okay.
Before that, it was in another name.
Do you have any interesting stories about some of the antique shows you've had in the past 4 years?
Well, we have, in our show, we made this, we call it a balancer that we have, that we play, we do tractor games. We take the tractor and we put it on this like a teeter-totter. And we drive up on this teeter-totter and we try and balance the tractor level as we can on this teeter-totter. That's pretty interesting. Everybody seems to like that.
Okay. How do you regulate the safety in these games?
Oh, we're careful. The teeter-totter is not very high off the ground, so we make sure that everybody does it on safe terms and no fooling around.
You also have an antique tractor pull, too, as one of the games?
Yes. Unfortunately, last year it was canceled due to the rain, so I hope this year we have better weather. But that's any antique tractor, you were allowed up to 1990 with turbos. So anybody who wants to come and pull, they're more than welcome.
Okay, what are some of the oldest tractors you've had?
Oh, we had them in the 40s and 50s.
How has the antique farm machinery community evolved over the years?
To be honest with you, I think we're trying to keep it alive, but the younger generation is not as interested in it as we are.
Okay.
That's just how I feel. They don't know, they're not brought up into that.
Is that one of the goals of the show, to try to get younger people interested in the antique farm machinery, the agricultural heritage too?
Yes, because if they're not interested, who's going to carry it on, like after me or my friend Laurent here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if no one else is interested in it, it'll just die away.
How do you feel this event contributes to the local community in Richmond?
Oh, this thing has contributed a lot. It's a lot of history and a lot of farmers around it like that. People that are retired from farming, they like to see all that old stuff because they used them back in the time, and they have lots of stories and telling people hey, I drove that in those tractors, and I used it for this and used it for that.
Exactly. Actually, yeah, that's how I learned to drive, was on an antique tractor years ago. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to start a collection of antique farm machinery?
Well, what advice is, it's, be honest, it's expensive to do, but you start at a low cost, and you always ask, like on Facebook, you can join these clubs. You can always ask some of the clubs for help, or people that are into it will give you a hand. That's no problem. Everybody's more than happy to help you out.
Okay, so you essentially would recommend getting into a group on Facebook or something like that, or in your community, and you all share the work and stuff, yeah?
But when I started out, I didn't have a group on Facebook, but my cousin was involved, and we both each other helped us out. So he has tractors, I have tractors. So we both help each other find parts or whatever that we need.
Okay. So how many tractors do you have? How many antique tractors do you have?
Well, right now I have about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an old car too, a 1930 Chevrolet car.
Okay, that's nice. What's your oldest tractor? How old is it?
Just let me think. I gotta memorize them. My oldest tractor is a 1944 Farmall H.
What's the youngest antique tractor you have?
The youngest one is a 1951 Farmall C. Mm-hmm. I have a 1951 Oliver 66, and I have a 1951 Cockshot 30.
Okay, so that's quite a neat collection. What was the most popular tractor back in the 40s and 50s?
That's hard to say because they were pretty well all popular. I would say Farmall and Massey Harris were one of the most popular back in the day.
Right, Massey Harris. Yeah, my father had a Massey Harris. What do you see in the future for antique farm machinery hobbyists? Anything? Do you see a future in it?
That's hard to say because there's people that like it but don't get into it. Or they don't have the space for them. It takes a lot of room for them. Like if you have them, you have to have lots of space to keep them in. It's hard to say where it's going to go. I'm hoping it's going to keep going. But as long as I'm around, I'm going to try and keep it going as much as I can.
No, that's good. So you've had this event, this show, for 4 years. Do you see it going on in the future?
Yes, I do. As long as we don't get rained out all the time.
Okay, good. So that's the Antique Farm Machinery Show, and that is on the grounds of the Richmond Fair in Richmond. It's June 15th and 16th, so you need to mark that in your calendar. And lots of events. It starts on Saturday. It's on the weekend. Starts on Saturday at 9 in the morning. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
About how many exhibitors do you have with their machinery?
It all depends on the weather. If the weather is good, we'll have, we average about 30 to 40 tractors. We'll say 50.
Okay.
We average that people bring their tractors, but the tractor pull, we've been rained out so much that we don't know how many we're going to have. That's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things are on Facebook right now, there's a lot of people that are interested, so we're kind of hoping we're going to have a good turnout.
Okay, so there's a Facebook page?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, yes.
And that's called?
Salons, Pups and Ones, Cleveland.
Okay, so anybody can go to that if they're interested.
Yes.
How much does it cost to enter your farm machinery, or is there a cost for that?
There's no cost to enter your farm machinery.
Okay, good. And there's also going to be like a market. There's a petting
zoo,
market, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a supper on Saturday night?
Yes, we're having like a mushery.
Okay.
We're having a pork and beef supper.
Okay, that sounds
good.
And
that's $35 a ticket.
Mm-hmm. That's more than reasonable, especially with the price of food today. So that comes up the June 15th and 16th, and you can visit the Facebook page. Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Nelson?
Nope, just everybody's welcome. You don't need to be a member. Just come down and have some fun.
Okay, so that's sponsored by the Patrim One Cleveland. And that's the Antique Farm Machinery Show on June 15th and 16th at the Richmond Fairgrounds. Well, thanks very much, and all the best on the event.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Got a surprise, especially for you. Something that both of us have always wanted so long, waited so long, we've waited so long, waited so
just heard from Dolly Parton. The song is called Two Tickets to Paradise. And today we'll talk about Parkinson's disease. It's a progressive nervous system disorder that affects movement. Parkinson's disease signs and symptoms can be different for everybody. Early signs may be mild and go unnoticed. Symptoms often begin on one side of the body and usually remain worse on that side, even after symptoms begin to affect both sides. Signs and symptoms of Parkinson's disease include tremor, slowed movement, rigid muscles, impaired posture and balance, loss of automatic movements, speech changes, writing changes. There is no cure for Parkinson's disease, but medications can help control the symptoms, often dramatically. If you've been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, you'll need to work closely with your healthcare professional to find a treatment plan that offers you the greatest relief from symptoms with the fewest side effects. And again, that's our health news today here on the Townships at 12, and this is from the Mayo Clinic. Next up, we have an interview with Anne Marie Bailey, manager and owner of the Black Cat Bookstore in Lennoxville, and she will be talking about the Canadian Independent Bookstore Day coming up on April 27th. We're talking with Anne Marie Bailey today, and Anne Marie is the manager and owner of Black Cat Books, an independent bookstore in Lennoxville. And very exciting news, the Canadian Independent Bookstore Day is coming up on April 27th, and that's all across Canada. So welcome, Anne Marie.
Thank you.
So how long has this activity been going on?
I'm not actually sure. It's been several years.
Well, it's exciting. It's all across Canada. What activities do you have planned for that day?
So there's publishers make free, freebies available to us. So there'll be some giveaways, some contests going on in-store and online. And my friend who owns La Librairie Macroscope is going to be here as well on the porch with some used books for sale. So kind of have a whole lot of stuff going on.
Okay, that's exciting. What kind of giveaways do you have?
There's a lot of sticker sheets. There's some quote pages. Yeah, just a bunch of different things.
Okay.
You'll have to come and find out.
So that is on the 27th, and you're right on Queen Street. You're right in behind the yarn store, if I remember right.
That's right.
Okay, lots of activities planned. Now, Libraire Macroscope, where are they located?
On Rue Alexandre.
Okay. Okay, Alexandre Street. And they will be on the porch that day with some used pop-up books for sale?
Yeah, well, we're calling it a pop-up bookstore because he does have a store in Sherbrooke, but he's going to be here with his books for sale. So that's going to be used books, French and English.
Okay, those are mostly children's books?
No, I'm not really sure. All varieties, I suppose.
Okay. So what time do the festivities start on the 27th?
We'll be starting at 10 o'clock as usual and go a little bit later than my normal 4 hours for Saturday. So we'll be here until 5.
Okay, from 10 to 5. So that's a full day and something for everybody in the family. I think it's great to get kids interested in books. It makes such a difference in their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Do you have any recommendations for books for us today?
Well, our book club this month is reading Sunshine Nails by Mai Nguyen. And that's a pretty good read. Enjoying it so far. We'll be meeting next week to discuss it. So that would be my recommendation right now.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the book club. How did that get started and how long has it been going on?
So it's a collaboration between Black Cat Books, Boutique LG, and the Lennoxville District Women's Center. So it's a women's only book club, and we meet once a month at Boutique LG for now. And we vote on the book for each month. So it's been fun so far. We started in January, and we have a pretty consistent group, and we're enjoying it.
Okay, so if somebody wants to join the group, they just come into Black Cat Books and talk to you about it?
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Okay, what else is going on at Black Cat Books? Anything else?
Nothing yet. Hopefully we'll have a couple of events happening this summer, but nothing has been decided yet, so keep an eye out.
Okay, that sounds good. Perhaps in the Queen Square or something like that?
Maybe, we'll see.
Okay. What else do you have to add? Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
No, I don't think so. Just come on out and check out Canadian Independent Bookstore Day. And if you can't make it that day, well, we're here Tuesday to Saturday all the time.
Okay. And you're located at 168 E Queen Street. That's the exact address. But you're basically right behind the yarn store in the middle of Queen Street.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Anne Marie, and all the best on the event.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank my guest today, the Honorable Mary-Claude Bebo, Nelson McCourt, and Anne-Marie Bailey. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. We'll close the show today with a song from Sabrina Carpenter, and the song is called Espresso. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody.
Thinking about me every night, oh, is it that sweet? I guess so. Say you can't sleep, baby, I know. Does that mean espresso? Move it up, down, left, right, oh. Switch it up like Nintendo. Say you can't sleep, baby, I know. Does that mean espresso? I can't relate to desperation. My guillotines are on vacation.
Is it that sweet? I-